You're listening to an Anna Zal Ministries podcast.
Welcome, Captivate and Patreon listeners, to our special bonus question. It's also going to be special in the fact you're going to get one side of the conversation with Kevin and I, and then later on, TJ and I will give our opinion on the same thing. So I brought it up earlier in a discussion. Kevin, when you look at Stephen King's work, do you see a man who has hope in his life?
I really do, because, you know, obviously he focuses on a lot of dark themes, material, and all these, you know, horrible things, both the demons that we deal with internally, and then, you know, all these systemic issues with the world. You know, you brought up, you know, the horrors of religious fanaticism, not religious, but corrupt, you know, evil religious leaders that influence so many. And I mean, we're all in alignment that that's a bad thing. And so a lot of his stories are focused on, but I mean, I really think hope is a theme that runs throughout his work. There's always, you know, no matter how much the characters suffer, there's almost always this, you know, hopeful ending and this empathy that runs throughout. You know, I mean, you look at Shawshank, you look at It. Like, I mean, it's, I think he really taps into how empathy and hope can be those driving forces to combat the monsters and the evil within us. And so, and you look at him in like, just as a person, granted, this is, comes from reading on writing, doing a lot of research on him, watching interviews. You know, he's a very calm person, and he's had to battle his own demons throughout his life. You know, you mentioned his addiction issues, and he's very open and frank about that and how that struggled. And there are certain projects he doesn't even remember writing because he was so immersed in alcoholism and
all of Cujo.
Yep, absolutely.
Doesn't remember a thing.
Doesn't know a thing. And like, and you know, he's very open about that because I think he wants to share his story with others that, you know, he's been clean for a long time, and you know, he has a really loving family, and you know, because I think I mean, he opens up a lot about his spiritual religious background, and I think he's like, there's a quote he says something about like how he doesn't really see the need. This is just for his perspective, like for any kind of organized religion, but he, you know, he remains very interested in spiritual themes and kind of what drives the universe and, you know, what we gravitate to as humans. So I think there really is a lot. I don't really view him as a total cynical person or someone without any hope or love for things. He just, you know, of course he sees problems in the world more than most people, and he reflects on that in his work. But if you look at, you know, his relationships with people and the strongest of his characters, I think he does want to instill that hope within others as best he can.
Yeah, I'd agree with that to an extent. I don't think he's a man with no hope in his life. Not you said that. I was from another point of view there. I think when you read his stuff, very few times are you going to see a downer ending. And if it is, chances are people probably deserved it by being idiots and not listening to people or something like that. So it's most of the time it feels like a deserved downer ending or a deserved bittersweet ending. So like, I don't see it there. Now, what kind of actually prompted this question in my mind was a couple of months ago, I finally finished Revival. And that is a book where I feel like he doesn't have as much hope as he would hope he does. And maybe I'm reading too much into things, but spoiling some of the book there, you find that it is, there is life after death, but is the eternal servitude to this giant ant-like eldritch abomination called, I think Mother is the name they give to her. And there is no heaven. There is no hell. It's always this bleak, servitude to a being that you have no ability of understanding or reasoning with. So I read that book and I was left with a lot of hopelessness reading it and seeing, oh, is that where he's at right now? And that obviously has been written years ago, so things may have changed. Once again, I'm very behind on his stuff. So I couldn't help but wonder, like, where does he stand? And I see all of his statements. I think he has a very loving family that he dotes on. I know he really loves his dogs as well as I think corgis are what he typically owns. And so I don't stand it to say like Stephen King has no hope. He is lost in this world and adrift without a paddle. But I see a man trying to figure things out and he hasn't reached that point of hope. And that's where he's trying to struggling with right now.
I think that's a very interesting look. Also, have you read the short story Afterlife?
When was that written?
It was a while ago, but I actually listened to the audio version on LeVar Burton's podcast. He read that. And so, because that one, it doesn't really make a statement about heaven and hell so much as it is about when you reach the end of your life and this man who finds himself in sort of a limbo there in this kind of like, you know, sort of unspecified spiritual realm. He looks back on his life and some of his biggest regrets and mistakes. And the story is more about confronting that, of like the message being, don't wait till it's too late to reconcile with the people you have harmed or the mistakes you've made. You know, like you don't know when your time is up. And so, you know, try your best to not hide those things, but confront them. And which I think is really good, but I haven't read Revival, but that, you know, that I can see that though. Cause yeah, when I say he has hope, I think he has like fulfillment in this life and is very much wrestling with questions of what comes next. And, you know, yeah. I do think he's like not sure about that as much. And I think he maybe internally wants to believe that there is a positive outcome there, but is not 100% sure and has sort of an existentialist mentality in that regard, but does have hope for what he can do with this life and tell stories and the power of that.
All right, well said. So if you want to hear the other side of a conversation, you're about to, because Joshua is going to take us there in a second. So thank you, Kevin, for being here with me for this.
And thank
we'll you. See you guys on the other side. TJ, when you look at the writing that he does, do you think that Stephen King has hope?
No.
Okay. Very different answer than Kevin, but go ahead. Let me hear it.
No.
Specifics, man. Come on. You're killing me.
Yeah. No, it's just, I mean, obviously, I think he does have hopes. He has hope that his work will reach people, and he has hope that, you know, his writing will affect people and stick around in the space of popular culture. But as far as hope for good, it really does not seem that way. In The Dark Tower, you know, most of his books do not have happy endings. They are ambiguous at best. And in The Dark Tower, it turns out we are stuck in a time loop. We were just privy to watch one of the loops.
Okay. Yeah. I think my answer that I shared with Kevin was, I think when it comes to, you know, personal life and family, he has a lot of hope in. He's got a very strong family that he loves and cares for. He enjoys his work. He enjoys what he does. But when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to like an afterlife, I don't see a man with hope inside of him. And you bring up a good point about some of his books in that, you know, even though like some villains will be killed, they'll be gone, but it's going to come at a cost, an immense cost sometimes. I can't remember if too many times he's had an actual outright downer ending for a lot of things, but most of the time it's going to be bittersweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's going to cost something along the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's fair. He's not out here just writing to disappoint people.
Yeah. So we're not dealing with like a Chinatown situation or something like that, where it's like, oh, forget it, Jake, it's Chinatown. It's like, no, I hate that movie and everything it represents because I despise downer endings that aren't deserved. And chances are, if there is something with King where you feel like a character got a downer ending, more than likely they deserved it by not listening to someone or thinking that they were too important for everyone else, or they were just so much better and prideful. So, yeah, how about you?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Fair enough.
Like a good downer ending every once in a while.
Okay. Okay. I accept that answer. I don't like it, but I accept your answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I like the Mist movie.
Now, that would be a definition of a deserved downer ending, because you gave up hope too soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that, when it comes to that movie as a total, that I can enjoy a downer ending there. But most of the time, I'm just bummed out by the end. It's like, what was the point of me reading all this if you're just going to leave me there?
Yeah, it's much harder to earn a downer ending. And they're, you know, as a result of that, it's way less common to see them because most people won't want to take the risk. But Infinity War,
okay, yeah, good example.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. But I think how I deal with that one too is that I know there's a sequel coming.
Yeah.
Where that's going to get overturned. So yeah. I'm okay with a downer ending there because it's temporary.
Yeah. And then all Endgame also was bittersweet, but.
Yes. But not a downer.
Not a downer.
Okay, listeners, thank you again for everything that you do, for helping to support us along the way. We definitely appreciate it. So until next time, see ya.
This was an Anna's Isle Ministries podcast. If you enjoyed this show and would like to learn more about our network, be sure to check out the Anna's Isle Ministries podcast network.